welcome to today's show, where we have an amazing guest. I know these people for close to 20 years, and they are the best of the best. We all hear stories about rescue dogs and rescues that don't stand behind their dogs or their cats, and people having all kinds of issues. Well, these are not the people. These are the good ones. These are the ones that you want to go check out after this show. You want to check out their website. You want to check them out because they really do things right. They care about the animals. They're not charging exorbitant fees. They're going to be there when you want to get your second or third or fourth pet. And these are the kind of rescues that you guys have to find and not just look around and say, oh, look at that cute dog. Because there's a lot going on in the rescue community where there are people, unfortunately, who really aren't going to stand behind their animals. And I'm going to talk about that after we have these wonderful people on, about why it's so important to choose your rescue before you choose your pet. Choose the rescue that's going to be there, and it's going to do the right thing, not just for the animals, but for the adopters. And that's why we have today one of the most amazingly fun, cool, and wonderful people I know, Kelly Miller from 11th Hour Rescue. Kelly, welcome to the show. Great to have you.
Aw, thanks, Janice. And that intro was so sweet. But listen, you've done a ton for us. You've been with us every step of the way. You're very... you've always been very concerned about helping us because, you know, we always stand by our animals, and if they have, you know, behavior that is not the best, we try to work with a trainer. We do everything we can, you know what I mean? So, and you've always helped us with that, so we've been very grateful.
Well, it's very easy to be kind and there for people who are so committed like you and Jason and Linda and just people who want the animals to have the absolute best. So, Kelly, let's start out, about, 20 years or so ago with Linda when she founded the organization, and it was little, and I remember she was working in an office and pretty much donating all her money that she made in her office and her job. She was donating that to the rescue, and that's where I kind of came in at the beginning and fell in love with not just Linda, but the whole organization, then got to meet you. Tell us about the roots that you started with.
I will. And then, you know, I want to go back to what you just said about her, like, putting her money back in. So she started, she was at work, and she was checking her personal emails because that's who Linda was. She wasn't doing work. And she, if you knew her at all, like, she wasn't doing work. She was checking her personal emails. So she was checking, and she had gotten an email, and I don't know why she had started getting these dogs' emails. I'm not sure why. Like, she had never been in rescue. It wasn't a thing she did. But she saw an email for dogs that were going to die in a gas chamber. And she called down, and she quickly figured it out. How would she get them here? How would she make it work? Where would she keep them? You know, she went through all that. And she figured it out, and she called the shelter, and she said, I'm going to take everybody you have today. And they said, what do you mean? And she said, every available dog you have, I'm going to take it. And she said the guy got really quiet, and he started to cry, and he said, nobody dies today. So, and that was it for her. Like it hooked her. Like, when she felt like she had helped those people, when she felt like she had helped those animals, that was, her and her best friend, Catherine, used to, like, do all these zany things and, like, go grab animals. And there were, like, so many people that were, like, just involved with her randomly from the beginning, like, just random wonderful friends that helped her and just building it up and fostering and taking dogs in. And I don't know. I mean, she just, it was like she just stepped into it. And, you know, going back to what you were saying before about, like, putting her own money into it, a lot of people ask, like, because there are a lot of rescues, which is wonderful. We want there to be a zillion rescues because every dog that lives is a dog. So I don't view rescues as competition. I view them as the ally. So I love how many there are. But, you know, people will say, like, how did you get so big? How did you get to be? And I believe it was because of what you said. She was putting every cent back into it. She was putting every minute of her time. She was putting all her friends and family. She was using her home. She just wasn't going to take no for an answer. She decided she was going to save dogs, and that was it. And nobody was stopping her. And we've just been growing ever since, thankfully.
You know what's amazing about that is a lot of people people do that, though, because I deal with so many rescues. I mean, we have about 500 to 600 rescues that I personally deal with at my practice. And, you know, everybody does that same thing. But I do think that Linda was special because she wasn't into that at the beginning. So where most people call me and they'll say, hey, Janice, you know, we want to start a rescue, or we want to start a service dog company, or we want to start whatever it is.
Right.
And they're like, tell me how to do it. The problem is when somebody else tells you how to do it, it's not instinctive. And not everything works for everybody. So I think the fact that Linda started and was that kind of fact finder is why she became, and the rescue became, larger than most, because she wanted to know how to do it efficiently. The other thing is that I see with rescues that start very similar situations is people trying to, you gotta realize it's a business. Nobody realizes when you start a nonprofit and you go, I'm going to do what everybody else couldn't do. Well, you may. It's possible, but it's not likely. So people go into it without having money. You have to have, to start a nonprofit, unless you have a famous last name, you have to start with your own money, and you have to treat it like a business. Because that's what I do with mine, with my service dog companies and my, you know, behavior companies, is I started it with my money, so I'm very, very cheap with my money. But when we get donor money in, I'm even cheaper with that, because that money represents somebody's faith in us that we can do something to help somebody, and we don't want to let them down. That's what I saw in Linda when I talked to her. I met with her at the office before I ever met any of the animals. And that's what she said. She said, you know, I'm doing this, but I know I can do it better. And I think she went with her own instincts, and she's great at it. She just has the right instincts.
You know what? I love that take on it. I've never heard somebody like say it like that. I love that take on it. You're right. Maybe it's because she was like, well, failing isn't an option, and if I don't do it right, I'll fail. So I got to do it, you know? I got to do it the right way. Like, she figured it out herself, and you're right. The investment was hers, which means it meant more.
Exactly. And, you know, one of the things that I joke about all the time, Kel, is when people used to laugh at me and they'd go, why won't you buy a Starbucks for yourself? Why won't you, you know, you don't buy yourself stuff. You don't do things for yourself. And I said, because one coffee at Starbucks is a heartworm pill for a dog for a month. Yep. And I look at everything, me personally, I look at what would that mean to an animal? That if I have my Starbucks, or if I have my, you know, $5 smoothie, or now it's what, $10, thank you to the government, $10 smoothie, that now, instead of being a smoothie that's gone, that $10 can be put together with maybe 7 or 8 others. I can get a dog neutered for that. So looked at it that way, and that's what I think Linda did too. And I think for all of us to kind of move forward, realizing you have to look at the rescue. The same thing as when, you know, yes, I breed Grand Champion show dogs, but guess what? I don't have people calling and going online, oh, look, I saw a picture of a puppy online. It's really cute. I'd like it. I have them come to my house, whether I have puppies or not. If I don't like them, they don't get one of my puppies. You have to look at the rescue. You have to look at the breeder for those people who are looking for a well-bred, you know, show line or good quality dog. Don't pick the puppy, pick the breeder. Because
I agree. And listen, we love ethical breeders. And I feel like there is a lot of breeder hating in rescue. And we love ethical breeders. Nobody wants to get rid of good ethical breeders.
Exactly. And that's a really important aspect I was going to talk later in the show about, but I'll keep Kelly on a couple extra minutes, is a lot of rescues that are failing are anti-breeder, and you gotta be. It's like a marriage of both, and that's what I love about Kelly and a lot of the rescues I deal with. Everybody knows that what I do. I've never had one of my dogs return to a rescue or a shelter because every single puppy I've ever sold to somebody becomes a friend. I get phone calls. I get monthly pictures. If I don't, I check in. Yes, you know, because that's what you do. What we're railing against, what Kelly and I and most rescues are railing against, is these people who are breeding backyard breeders, puppy mills, people breeding crap to crap and getting crap, and then rescue gets stuck. I got a couple here that I took from rescue, two chihuahuas that have two legs because they were poorly bred. Those are the quote-unquote breeders. When you go to and you want to get a mixed breed designer dog, guess what? The parents of those dogs are going to live for the rest of their lives until they get dumped. Not everyone, but many of them. That's why so many rescues and shelters hate breeders. They don't hate me because I stand behind my dogs and I take others. And if I can get a rescue dog out there instead of have somebody take a dog out of rescue instead of getting a puppy, I love to do that. But that's where we as an audience, all of you guys listening today, instead of going to a quote-unquote breeder and you say, well, I want a doodle. Well, there are doodle rescues. Get one of those dogs out of a doodle rescue. Or I'm sure Kelly's, you know, 11th Hour Rescue, which is wonderful. I'm sure 11th Hour has got plenty of cute, fluffy little things that got poodle in them. And you know what? They don't cost you $3,000. Kelly, what is your adoption fee? Tell us about the process. Like, what does somebody do that wants to go through and get a dog from you guys or a cat?
Okay, so they would fill out an application. And the application is thorough, and we ask you a bunch of questions. You know, we just want to know about your life and like taking care of pets and stuff. And if upon approval, we would contact you about a dog you were looking at or a dog that we felt was a good fit for you or whatever. And you would either be connected to the foster or the facility, and then you would come and you would have to bring everyone in your family and the dog, you know, your dog or dogs, and we would do a meet and greet with everyone, and it would be lovely.
Awesome. So it's not really that hard to do for people, and people need to understand, if a rescue is going to adopt a dog to you on the side of the highway, and I hear that all the time, that is not a reputable rescue unless you've already rescued from them. People are going to want to do a home visit or a video of your home. They're going to want to call references. They're going to want to maybe check with your vet. When I sell a puppy to somebody who I don't know, I'm on the phone with their vet. I'm on the phone with two of their references, and I do call because people, you know, you got to protect this. These animals can't help once they go to a home. It's like a foster child. We have to protect the animal because the animal can't protect itself. And that's where a lot of times, and I know Kelly and I through the years have had conversations about this, where you get a dog that's so great at the foster, and the foster's had the dog for 6 months, so it's not just a two-month honeymoon period. And then all of a sudden, the dog gets growly and grumbly, and it's biting people. It's not always the dog. A lot of times it's the situation. But it's because you don't have all, every rescue is not like every other rescue. They're not all created equal. And that's why you'll hear me with select few rescues that I actually put on the show, because I want you guys to know what to look for. So, Kelly, tell us, without telling us your magical, you know, secret sauce recipe, tell us what are the exact things that we look for. Like, if somebody says, hey, I want to get a dog, and I already have my dog. Now, you already said, obviously, their old dog would come in with their new, to meet the new one, so they get, you know, make sure they get along. But what are things that people can do to make themselves better candidates? And I don't mean in a bad way, but in a good way. Like, what are things, like, obviously, you don't want somebody who's going to be working 12 hours a day.
It's going to be easier for you to work with us if you're giving us, like, exactly what you're looking for. You know what I mean? Like, if you say, like, you know, I really love this breed, or I really don't, I shy away from this breed, or I can't have this breed. You know what I mean? Like, you know, and then if you say, you know, if you give us your, what are your thoughts? Like, be honest. We don't care that you're not hiking the Appalachian Trail. We don't care. We just want to give you a dog that's going to fit that. So if you're lazy and you sit on the couch all day, listen, no judgment here, but let's get you a dog that also does that. You know what I mean?
I love it. I got to cut you off for 1 second because I just have to say to people, that's one of the things I always say when people call up and they say, you know, I want to get a puppy, or I want you to find me a rescue dog. And they'll say, like, what do I have to do? I say, no, it's the dog is going to fit into your life. not you changing your life and living your life around your dog. That's why you have to be honest. And you may not get the puppy that, you know, the Belgian Malinois, Aussie puppy that you wanted to get, but you'll wind up, if you deal with a good rescue, goes back to my point at the beginning of the hour, you got to deal with the right rescue who's going to care, because they want this placement to work because they want you to be happy, and they want you in 10 years when they don't have that dog anymore. They want you to come back and get another dog and be a part of it and have a good experience.
Right.
And
like
not
if,
all rescues
if you,
are like
if
that.
You binge watch Bravo all day, that's fantastic. Just tell me, and then I'll find you a buddy who also wants to binge watch Bravo. You know what I mean? Like, not somebody who's running around your house when you're just kind of sedentary, you know? But I think people sometimes, like, want to believe they're going to, like, go out and change and, like, start exercising because of this dog. And you're right. That's not how you should pick that.
Exactly. And that's the point, is making sure that you're honest with the right rescue, and that they tell you, if you go to a rescue, if you go to, like, let's say 11th hour, and you say, I want that puppy I saw, and except that I broke my leg and I'm 82 years old, you know, that might not be a good choice. You don't want the rescue to say, oh, you want that dog? Good. We're stuck with him. You take him. Because that's where certain rescues have a lot of, like, recidivism, we could call it, but returns. Because the rescue didn't vet out the humans and the family. And it's so important that you be honest and forthright and really blunt and say, hey, I really want an Aussie mix. However, I'm not active. He may have that 1 in 1,000 Aussie that they go, oh, my gosh, somebody who actually wants an Aussie that's not hyper. We have that. But you have to really be honest, because otherwise you're going to be one of those, you know, unfortunate returns, and it's never good. When you return an animal, it does go on their record. So if you have an animal, the best animal in the world, but he's just not fitting your lifestyle, you're hurting the animal, not helping him. So make sure you tell your rescue. And then, Kelly, I do want you to tell, is it possible, if somebody's not sure about a dog, can they foster to adopt? Is that something you offer?
We don't do a lot of foster to adopting. Like, we don't do that unless usually it's like sometimes medical, you know, whatever. We don't do that only because it's just easier to say, hey, listen, we get quite a few apps on each of our dogs, so it's just like it's not something to do. But I mean, like, if there was a particular reason, of course we would, you know.
But let's say a dog, like, because I wanted to, we're going to talk to the amazing Jason in a little bit, but I'm just kind of curious, like, let's say somebody says to you, you know, hey, I really like this dog. It's not quite working out, and there are a few issues. Do they have to return it, or do you have options, including myself?
Oh, no. Well, then we have people like you, you know, who are nice enough to call. We have a fantastic behavioralist that works with us, and he'll call immediately. And, you don't have to know. We want to work with you. Because sometimes it's just the adjustment period. You know, we want to make it work. So, you know, but if we don't want to make it work to anyone's detriment. So we just want to make it work if it can work. And, you know, you can call us, we talk to you. But, like, we'll be with you every step of the way. We always are, you know?
Awesome. So if somebody has an issue, you're not telling them return the dog or you're on your own. You offer help. And
no.
I know you guys through the years I've been a big part of a lot of your adoptions and events and all. And that's the important thing. Again, you know, you may not be located in the area, in the New York, New Jersey, Connecticut area. You may be out west. You may be in another country. We're trying to give you the best options wherever you are located. So, Kelly, tell us, if somebody, let's say, wants to make a donation to 11th Hour Rescue, they want to reach out and see available dogs, how can they get in touch with you guys? And, you know, what's the process for somebody to become approved prior to finding an exact dog that they particularly want?
Well, they can go to our website, www.ehrdogs.org.
Okay, let's say EHR 11th Hour Rescue, EHR Dogs.
Dogs.org.
Okay, good.
And they can go to our website, and they can find anything they want on our website. They can find our application. They can find our available dog. So if they are not sure who they even want to adopt, they can just put in an app, get approved, come to events, you know, make appointments with our adoption counselor, things like that. You know, we can do that. So, yeah, anything you want, the way to donate, buy things off our wish list, anything like that, that's all on our website.
Awesome. So if somebody wants to make a donation, because now we're, you know, getting close to, you know, Giving Tuesday.
Yes,
and
that would be
and
wonderful.
Thanksgiving,
yeah.
And all, anybody who wants to make a donation to help 11th Hour Rescue, it's www.ehrdogs.org. Go on their website, look at the available dogs, look at their wish list. You know, maybe you have something that you're going to get rid of, and maybe you have crates or you have something that you want to donate before you, you know, donate it or dump it in the dump. If you have things like, I know crates are always helpful, and, you know, bowls and all
and
kinds of things.
And we have a thrift store, so we accept donations for our thrift store.
Nice. And where is your thrift store located?
It's in our RXM location. Our Rockford Mall location,
Okay, so where exactly, if somebody wanted to get involved, like what kind of donations would you do? Is it clothing or is it dog related?
They can call and ask to speak to the thrift store.
Can they get the phone number?
Or they can stop in and ask them what?
The phone number of the thrift store so people can write it down?
Oh, I actually don't know the phone number.
You don't know it. Go on the website.
Of the thrift store, go on the website. They can call and they can, you know, ask and see whatever. But they take a lot of things at the thrift store, and the thrift store has been really helpful to us. So I'm sure it's within the realm of donations they want.
Great. Now, that sounds fantastic, Kel. So what we're going to do is we're going to actually thank Kelly for being here. Hopefully she can stay on. We're going to bring on our next guest, Jason. And Jason is, I'm going to let Jason tell you a little bit about who he is. So we'll have Jason on the phone. And Jason, welcome to the show. We have Kelly still on, of course. As you know, Kelly will be here. Tell me a little bit about, first of all, hi, and thanks for coming onto the show.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for having us. We appreciate it.
Our pleasure. Tell us a little bit about your journey with 11th Hour Rescue and where you started, where I met you, and where you are now, and what we can do to help you guys.
Okay, great. I started as, you know, obviously I grew up with animals my whole life, and they've just, what they've meant to me is just what leads me every single day. So I started back in, I think it was like 2013, I went to our PetSmart location when we were in PetSmart, and I was looking for a dog, and no particular dog, but I wanted to rescue. So I already had an elderly dog, and I hooked up with 11th Hour Rescue at PetSmart Charities in, I guess it was in Mount Olive. And I went in looking, and I got hooked up with some of the best volunteers who brought me through each of the kennels, showing me which dogs were what, you know, telling me all about their different temperaments. And I zoned in on one or two of the dogs, and I ended up with a 3-year-old white deaf boxer mix named Rocky, and just fell in love with him, and he became my heart dog, right? And the way that 11th Hour handled it made me want to do more. So I went in. They were so kind with me. They brought me in. My dog came in. My family came in. It was a match. I brought the dog home, and I was sitting there with my wife saying, I'm just amazed at what these people do and the how they go to the nth degree to try to match a dog to a family. And this dog, Rocky, was deaf, and he was fearful, as many deaf dogs are. And he became sort of like a pivotal point of 11th Hour, because he, when I brought him into my house, every time we had a deaf dog come into the organization, I would sometimes bring some of our fosters into my home, and they would just follow his lead. He would then get them ready for adoption. I could then, you know, set them up for success. And so basically I started saying, how else can I help? And I ended up going to our kennel at the time was in Randolph, and started to get to know all the dogs, walking the dogs, help train the dogs. And that doing that helped me really truly understand each dog, and it really helped us in placing those dogs. So,
and then, you know, Jason, over the years, I wanted to ask, when you guys went in there, because this is, again, going back to the rest of the show today is going to be focused on how to find the right rescue, which is why you guys are on, because you are one of the great ones. But you see all the things. This isn't like where I know a lot of our listeners are saying, wow, that's really a lot of stuff. Most of the time, it should be difficult for you. If you go to a rescue that dumps a dog on you quickly, it's not going to be a good rescue. They're not going to stand by. You see, the pattern of what happens with a good rescue is they want to have that dog be there forever, not just dump it and get an adoption fee and be on to the next one. 11th Hour, I know Linda, Kelly, Jason, all of their people really want this to be a special thing for everyone. It's like when I'm placing a service dog, I have plenty of service dogs. I got lots of options for you guys, but it has to be the right one, not just getting one. And that's where the big difference is that I want to talk about with Jason today a little bit more. He can finish the story, but I want to get into, tell us about some of your dogs that maybe the ones that, you know, aren't the easy ones to place and that do have special needs or need a certain situation, because those are the ones that tend to stay in rescue a long time. And as we all know, if they stay in rescue a long time, every cage or run or foster that has a dog that could have been adopted is taking a spot away from another dog who needs to be adopted. So we want to know also, Jay, what you can think of, any dogs, cats, anything that you have there that are great animals, but just need that special situation. So maybe some of our listeners might know of that situation. So I want to make sure we get to that as well.
Okay, so, yeah, no problem. A couple dogs that I love that are my favorites at the rescue but have been there way too long. Mirage Bailey, she's one of my favorites. She's like a Roddy hound mix. And she is a really, really great dog, but, you know, may not be good, around children. She may need, you know, a lot of our adopters that we've had are looking for, they'll come to us and they'll say, I don't want an easy dog. I want a dog that needs rescue. And so, you know, certain dogs that have been there, for a long time, they tend to get a little bit, I want to say, institutionalized. They're used to the everyday grind. But so Mirage Bailey, sweetheart for the people who know her, but she might take a little bit of time to get to know. But she's
what would be the right home for her then? Like, if you could design the perfect home for Mirage Bailey, what would you do? Like, who would it be?
A quiet home away from the hustle bustle of city life. As she really thrives in the tranquil environment. So a home that doesn't have a whole lot going on, she probably wouldn't be a great fit for people who have, you know, impromptu visitors, because she doesn't do great with, you know, it takes a little bit of time for her to get to know people. So there's always a process, you know.
So maybe somebody like a veteran or an older person who's not, you know, not in their 90s, but somebody who's kind of got a sedentary, chill lifestyle, doesn't have, you know, a lot of people around and is looking for a best friend. Is that kind of what you're looking for?
Absolutely. And she, once she lets you in the circle, she is a cuddle bun.
Aw. So this dog is knit called Mirage Bailey.
Yep.
Okay, and how old? Can you tell us a little bit? I know she's a hound mix, a hound Roddy. And
so,
what does she weigh? She's
brown chocolate with black. She's about 54 pounds, and she is about 6 years, 1 month.
Wow. Okay, so this is not an old dog. This is a dog who's got plenty of life left in her and maybe can help your life. But this is where our listeners, you might be thinking of, oh, you know, I have a cousin or my dad's friend. He's, you know, lost his spouse and he's, you know, he's all alone and he's got this, you know, cute little place and he doesn't really do anything much. You know, he's real chill and isn't vacationing all the time, doesn't have people around. That might be a perfect situation for this particular dog. So anybody who's listening, think. If you know somebody or you just tell your friends, because your friend may say, oh, my dad, you know, my grandma just passed and my grandpa's all by himself. He doesn't want to do anything. He's got this cute little place. That's why we need to do this. That's what this show is about, is about helping not just, you know, you with your dog, but helping animals that are in rescue that need help. So she sounds great, Jason. Do you have any other dogs or any other cats that also might be good and can tell us about their background and what they might be best suited for?
Yeah, sure. So Mac Bailey, he's about 7 years, 5 months old, about 50 pounds. Brindle, he's like a bulldog mix. And really, he is a really good dog. He has been... when we first got him, he was so much more, you know, the bulldog mix, bulldog breed. They're sometimes stubborn dogs. They're sometimes willful, but this dog has really softened over the years, and he has become, you know, one of our volunteers basically wrote, He's an adorable brindle bulldog who was saved just in time. He loves to be near his people and is a great companion when left alone. He does great in the car. He will be good. He loves to play fetch with tennis balls and enjoys walks. He's well behaved on a leash, and he finds pure joy in car rides, rolling around, playing in the back seat.
You know who's hitting my radar, and I might know somebody for this dog? I have a friend who's a trucker who drives and then he goes back home and he sleeps on the couch and then he gets back in the truck. See, somebody like that, you know, we all have to put our heads together. So this dog to me, because he sounds like he's, you know, easy, if you know somebody who's got that kind of a lifestyle who would be good for him, but I'm here in trucker, and there's a lot of truckers that reach out to me, not because I've met them in a truck stop, but just because they're looking for somebody or help to find a dog. But a lot of them, this is really a good opportunity. So if anybody out there does, you know, is a truck driver or has that connection, check with your friends, because they might be looking for a good little companion, a buddy to, you know, lay around with them and sleep with them in the back and then, you know, go on the road and then go back home. What do you think, Jason? Am I doing okay on finding homes for these guys?
Absolutely. Listen, you know, what I would say is that, you know, we have volunteers that work with each one of these dogs, and sometimes they call them like pet projects. And we have these dedicated volunteers who get to know the dogs, bring them home, do sleepovers, really get to learn the dog's behavior in and out of the kennel, so that when people come to our rescue, they can give them the best description of how they would be, you know, how they would react in the home and what they need. So each one of our dogs has a description in the bios. I would highly recommend, if they're looking for a dog, just go on our website, look up the dog. If there's one that you see that looks great, or a cat, Everyone has a bio that kind of describes their temperament, what they would be best in, whether they're good with dogs, whether they're good with cats, whether they need to be the only dog, whether they're good with strangers. All of that we try to include in each one of our bios.
Wow, that sounds great. It's almost like a dating website or dating app between humans and animals, in a good way, I mean. So let's grab one more pet, maybe a senior or something that, you know, has a behavioral issue that maybe, again, somebody who's listening might be able to help out with. And then we'll kind of wrap up and we'll go on to the rest of our show, because I know we need to take a break soon. But, Jason, you have one more, maybe a senior or a difficult, real difficult to place?
Well, I have Wilbert Newark. He's about 7 years, 2 months. He is a delicious white bulldog. He's about 75 pounds of pure muscle. He needs moderate exercise, but this dog will play fetch with you until your arm falls off. He loves to play in the yard. He was rescued from an inner city shelter, obviously Newark. And he's got a huge personality. He gets along well with other dogs, is super sweet to everyone he meets. He walks nicely on a leash, despite his size. He surprisingly has a ton of energy, and he is obsessed with playing with the ball.
Is he good with kids, or is he good with teenagers, or is it more no kids, teenagers?
You know what it is? Because of his size, we would always say, older, respectful children.
Okay, good, good, good. So if you have some, good teenage kids that, aren't getting detention constantly, they may be good. How would he be with, let's say, a group home with, where somebody has, like, a couple of roommates and all? Is he good with any other animals, or?
Well, it says good with dogs, not good with cats, good with older, considerate children only, does good in the car, leash trained. Crate trained, plays fetch, likes to play with toys, obedient, playful, intelligent, and goofy.
Wow, this sounds like a great dog. Again, so this is Wilbert Newark?
Wilbert Newark.
Wilbert. Okay. So we got three great animals, and we'll definitely, it's been such a pleasure having Kelly and Jason on, and we will definitely have them on again. You can go on to, if you guys can't remember the EHRdogs.org. You can reach out via our network and get a message to me, and I will forward it to 11th Hour Rescue. Just make sure that when you do that, you check out. Also, remember, we got donations are always welcome and also always needed. If you have items, like Kelly was saying earlier, for their store, they have a store so that if you donate things, it'll be sold. And like a repurposed store, so you can donate those things. Go to their website. Unfortunately, the joy is going to end right now because we got to get on to the rest of the show. But we absolutely are so thrilled that Kelly and Jason have been here. Kelly, you still there?
I'm here. Thank you so much for having us.
Well, thank you for doing the great work you do. Jason, you are amazing. I know you guys both for so many years, and just so happy to and blessed to have you as friends and also doing the great work that you guys do. If anybody listening, any of our listeners, want to get any more information, you can reach out to them at ehrdogs.org. If you want to make a donation, or I'm sure if you want to become a foster, but reach out to these people because they truly are wonderful and they do the right thing, and you will not be disappointed when you have them helping you find your new best friend. Everybody, thank you for being here, and love you guys, and hopefully see you again soon on the show.
Thank you so much.
All right, bye.
Take care, guys. And with that, we're going to have to take our break, and we will be right back. And welcome back. Well, we had a very, very exciting and eventful show so far with our wonderful guest from 11th Hour Rescue. You know, today is really, I want to focus on how you can bring a pet into your home, not just for a Christmas puppy or not just a Christmas pet, but understanding that there are differences between good rescues, bad rescues, the person who's going to meet you to get a puppy at Walmart. Nothing against Walmart, love them, but, you know, we've all heard these stories. And also about, you know, not everybody is the family or the right situation to have a rescue dog. But if you are, and if especially, like you see some of these great dogs that some of the rescues have, and these dogs just need a chance. I mean, a six-year-old dog that's not going to be chewing up your house, and you're going to get maybe, you know, five or six, seven, eight more years, that's a long time. And what people don't realize is when they go to, you know, backyard breeders, pet, you know, puppy mills, pet stores, those animals, yes, you do have some chance of having a dog that does last a long time, and that's perfectly healthy. But the people who are breeding these kind of dogs don't care if the dog lasts a year or if it lasts 15 years because they sell the puppy and they go find another schmuck to go sell the next puppy to. They are not looking at repeat breeding. They're not looking at, like, with what I do with breeding Grand Champion show dogs. And it's not that, I do want to explain, it's not that there's something good or bad inherently in an animal depending on where it comes from, but your chance or your likelihood of having a good quality, healthy animal are so much higher when you go to like an AKC breeder of merit like myself. What you have to do is start thinking about not today, not 6 months from now, but how many years do you want to get out of this animal? And if you find, again, it's the same thing we talked about previously in the show, find your breeder, find the person that you trust, find the rescue or shelter you trust, and don't look at like, oh, look, I see this one and his eyes are calling out to me. And then you reach out and they go, yeah, we have 128, you know, applications on that, but we have other dogs. And you know what happens? The other dogs, it's not that they're bait and switch, but the other dogs may not be bad choices for you. You got to stop falling in love with your eyes. I've seen so many people, avid behaviorists, I have seen everything, and I've been doing this so long, tens of thousands of patients that I've seen, plus all the ones at the rescue, like 11th Hour, where I used to go and help them all the time and work and teach their staff so that they are able to go help. And then those are the people who know the animals. They know the animal. They know where the dog is going to be best. But a lot of times when people are looking for a pet or they're looking for their kid's Christmas gift, I know a few years ago they were doing that, people were actually coming to me and saying, well, you know, can you suggest a dog that might be, you know, like a place that might be good that has a low adoption fee? Don't do that, because adoption fees can range from nothing, which is you won't see, to, you know, I saw a doodle rescue that had a $2,000 adoption fee. That's not an adoption fee. That's somebody warehousing and dumping puppies. They're just making money. Who knows if they're even breeding those? You want a rescue, not that it can't be a newer rescue, but you do want to see that the rescue, or that if you choose a breeder, you want to get a purebred dog and a good, well-bred, purebred dog. Hey, listen, I do that. But I also have rescues. And when we take dogs at our company, at our nonprofit, and we go and we start looking for, you know, good dogs, we have definitely certain shelters and certain rescues we deal with more than others, because we know that they're not just dumping a dog on us. They're going to know, and they're going to temperament test it, evaluate it, and make sure that that animal is going to fit. Because, you know, we all look at it. Just imagine if we were all pets, okay, we were all dogs and we were rescued. And we, some of us start out in a great situation where we have a wonderful home, and then we go off to college or we go off to boarding school. And that's like, you know, that's like kind of the rescue. That's when you're being fostered. Then they find their forever family. They're very well adjusted. So if you have a dog who is, let's say, coming up from the South, which is super common, and the people are just kind of, you know, giving you that dog right off transport, sometimes that's a problem. The reason it's a problem is they don't know that dog. So you take an organization like some of the ones that we've had on the show and have on periodically, where these places, they actually foster the dogs to make sure that they know what kind of a family those dogs are going to be in. I was very impressed with Jason when he was telling us about what they do and that their fosters all write down about the dogs, and like, because they've had the dogs, they've taken the dogs out, so they know where those animals are going to thrive. And that's important. When you go to your local, you know, backyard breeder or, you know, pet store or something, do you think a pet store cares where that dog's going to be? You think they care what's going to happen? Of course they don't. They're charging you and they're making a lot of money. And that's one of the things that I was asking about with adoption fee, for you guys to understand. Adoption fees should not be crazy, but they do have to, you know, listen, they have to pay a lot of these dogs. They need their vaccinations. They may need small medical procedures. They need to be spayed or neutered, some of them, most of them. And, you know, they might have little health issues. So, yes, it's a very expensive thing to do because the rescues don't get that for free from vets. So they get discounts very often. But most rescues could not survive off of adoption fees alone, because I know my friend Kit, who's got a Yorkie rescue, it was wonderful. I mean, she would, you know, get an adoption fee of maybe, you know, a few hundred dollars, $500 or something. But she spent, you know, $6,000, $8,000, you know, $10,000 on some of these dogs. So it is very expensive. And this is one of the things that when you go and you spend $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 on a dog, on a puppy or whatever, you know, you don't know how much other, how many other things and how much money you're going to be spending beside that, because you don't know when you go buy a pet store dog. If you don't know when you go and you get a dog online, you know, and you just don't know. And a lot of these animals, please God, everybody there should get some good health, pet health insurance. And we talk about that all the time, because you just don't know what the genetics are of these animals. We've all seen people who say, oh, but I've gotten two dogs at pet stores and they were both great dogs. Yes, and your third one could be a medical disaster, might be a great dog, but might have medical issues. So we really all have to get together and be smart about this. It's not like, you know, oh, you bought, you know, a coat, or you bought a, you know, bicycle, and then you say, I don't really like it, I'm going to return it. When you return a coat or a bicycle, that coat or bicycle doesn't have psychiatric issues and medical issues, right? So you want to actually look at this as a forever thing, like as adopting a child. You're not giving it back. So you can check, because a lot of rescues, even 11th hour, I'm sure that if something didn't work out, they're going to help you with it. But like she was saying when Kelly was talking earlier, sometimes they have multiple adopters available for a dog. So you might want to consider, as an adopter and looking for this new best friend, maybe not choosing the dog that everybody else wants or the cat that everybody else wants. Now, if you have children, especially small children, or if you have other animals, yes, you have to be a little more aware. But if you have a situation where, let's say, you're the only person, and a lot of us these days, a lot of ladies and a lot of guys, we don't really necessarily want to, you know, to settle down with somebody else. So if you're home and you're kind of a single, you know, sole proprietor of your home, maybe you want to look at, like I said, contacting a rescue, like one of the good ones like we have on, and check with them and say, hey, what are some of the animals that you don't have a lot of applications on? And you'll be surprised. And a lot of times, unfortunately, these are dogs who don't photograph well. Black dogs particularly do not photograph well. We have photos, even with a professional photographer, if you don't have that lighting perfect, we have three dogs that I'm thinking of. We have one who was just placed as an amazing service dog, and she's a Newfoundland, gorgeous. And we have another one who is a very, very beautiful black lab. And we have another one who is part probably Newfie and maybe flat coat retriever, also black. When we take pictures of these three dogs, one of them is probably 110 pounds, the other one is maybe about 80, and the other one's maybe about 35 to 40. You can't tell which dog is which because they're black. So ask about the dogs that maybe don't photograph well, because that is something that we really need to focus on. Where you look at a dog and you say, you know, oh, look how cute it is. Right, but there are other dogs who are just as cute, but they just don't photograph as well. The black dogs are the last ones in a shelter or rescue typically to be adopted. They're the last ones because when people fall in love with their eyes and they're looking and they're going, oh, Ma, look at this adorable little, you know, look at this little hound. It's brown and white, you know, or you see, you know, somebody who's like, look at this Great Dane. Isn't he pretty? He's all brindle and he's, you know, yeah, okay, or whatever it is, those dogs typically that are more visible, that are more, you know, obvious, they tend to get adopted first. You can ask any rescue or shelter, you know, what's the last dog to get adopted? A slightly older black dog. They're usually the ones that don't get adopted because it's harder to market them, if you would. So contact, again, like we were saying at the top of the hour, like I was discussing earlier, if you're looking for a pet, if you're looking for a grand champion show dog, well, that's an easy one. But if you're looking for a good pet, you still want to go to good breeders who breed grand champion show dogs or best in show dogs, because those are the people who are going to be there for you over time if you have a problem, and they're going to be a wealth of knowledge for you. If you're looking at getting a, let's say, a doodle, because we've all heard that they're so great. Hey, whatever, I'm going to leave my personal feelings out of that. But you don't have to go and have a puppy mill or a backyard breeder be getting money from you for something that, you know, you could go to a rescue. There are rescue groups that specialize in, like, there's All Breed, which is like 11th Hour, Incredible Pups, all the ones we always talk about. But there are also rescue groups that specifically will look at a breed or a mixed breed. Like, let's say you want a poodle mix because your, you know, husband has allergies. Personally, I'd get rid of the husband and keep the dog. But let's say your husband has allergies and, you know, you need something like that. Well, you know, you can also check with Poodle Rescue. You can also look to see there are a lot of other breeds like schnauzers that are, quote-unquote, hypoallergenic. And remember, hypo means less, not none. There's no such thing in the world. Even air is not completely without allergens, right? So if you're looking, find that rescue group. I can't urge you enough. Find the rescue. Find the place that's going to stand behind it. Find that breeder of, you know, show dogs. Visit with them. Don't go over when you're looking for the puppy. Go over when you're thinking of a puppy. So when you start saying, hey, you know, I might like to get, I don't know, maybe a boxer. So if you want a boxer, go to a breeder, a boxer breeder. If they won't sit down with you and spend time with you when they're looking, then that's not going to be a good person. Because once somebody's got your money, whether it's a rescue, a shelter, a breeder, quote unquote, a legit breeder, the time that after they give you the money and you got the dog, you got to make sure that they're going to still be like I am, or I am there for people who didn't even get puppies or dogs from me, because I care about the breed. I care about the animals. I love the animals themselves. But the best thing to do, again, is find your place. Find the people, find the breeder, find the rescue. where you see that they stand behind those animals. Everybody goes into a marriage assuming they're going to stay married. But, you know, listen, there's a lot of divorces, especially during COVID, because we all got stuck staying with each other and realized, wow, that wasn't as good of an idea as it seemed. But don't be in love with the idea of love. Be in love with the idea of having a companion, having something that is going to be there for you, having something that is going to be healthy, or if it's not, that you know it already. And you're going into this with your eyes wide open. So this is really what I wanted to talk about today, making sure that we all know that when we adopt a dog, we purchase a pet, a cat, even a horse, there are going to be expenses. Sit down with the breeder. Like I do this. I've got a litter of puppies that, you know, I've got a few of them that just left. And I sat with each family after the hours we've talked on the phone, after the hours before they ever got here, after the hours when they first came to visit. I spend hours on everything with them. If you see this, call me. If you see that, one of the things that, because I have larger breed dogs, one of the things that I'm always looking at is, you know, making sure they don't get panosteitis. So you guys don't know what that is, probably most of you. Well, you should, and you should ask your breeder, what are the things that I should watch out for? I actually have all of our puppy families contacting me weekly, sending me pictures of growth plates on the front legs. Now, who does that? I do. So there's a reason that you want to find the correct rescue, the correct breeder, or the correct people, even like a veterinarian, that you have to be able to rely on them and that they're going to be there to help you and to help your pet. Well, it's, again, amazing how short our show really seems, especially when you're talking to great people. We're going to have a lot of good things happening. We've got some good shows coming up, really good shows coming up. We will have another veterinarian on next week. We will be having other rescues on. And if you're listening and you say, hey, Janice, I've got a fantastic veterinarian, or I've got a great breeder, or I've got a great, you know, whatever it is, let us know. Email us. You can always reach out to us via the show and the network, and just let us know, and we'll consider having those people on our show to highlight who they are and the great work they're doing. For today, I hope everybody has a wonderful, wonderful day. We have Thanksgiving coming up next week. Happy Thanksgiving, because we won't be able to have a show before then. But enjoy and be safe. We love you. God bless.